Let's bring in our next guest, who I'm going to guess he's, I don't know where he is, but I bet you it's nicer than here right now. Sean Merriman, 3-time Pro Bowler, at Sean Merriman on Twitter. Lights out. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing well. So I want to start today with a tweet I saw of yours, which was that you didn't like Tyrod Taylor's body language in that Buffalo Bills loss to the Jaguars last week. And I'm wondering, if it's up to you, do you run it back with Tyrod Taylor if you're the Bills?
I don't think so. I wouldn't. Don't get me wrong. I think they did a great thing over there. I think when they took him out during the season and they crapped the bed against the Chargers, it showed that he does have value. The reason why I said that, and I don't like his body language, is in critical time and critical moments, the quarterback has to seem the most controlled, and you have to believe in him the most. If I'm sitting on the offensive line, if I'm offensive line, well, I'm a wide receiver or running back, and I look back at Tyrod, I don't feel good about winning the game. And I'm just, speaking as a former player and sitting back and watching the body language of guys and everybody else ready to go, and he's not completely in it. What happens a play or two later, I think right after I sent that tweet, he gets hurt. And I'm not saying that had a lot to do with it, but I do think that has something to do with it and not being prepared and ready to go be successful.
You know that market very well. You know that Tyrod, that's an $18 million cap hit if he does come back. Is Alex Smith the logical guy that you'd go after, or would you go in a different direction?
You look at Alex Smith, you can look at Manning. I mean, Eli Manning, you can look at some other guys, especially guys who've been down that road before. Something about that game and the way his performance, the way he was not able to rally the rest of his teammates, completely turned me off on Tyrod.
I wonder if the biggest key to this offseason, though, in terms of trying to build off of what the Buffalo Bills have done, is making sure that Kyle Williams comes back. And he seems like such a popular guy. And I know that you played with him. And I wonder what it is about Kyle Williams that makes guys love him so much.
You know what? He was one of my favorite teammates. And I'm talking about the Chargers of the Buffalo Bills. He was one of my favorite teammates I got a chance to play with. Just a great character guy. He always, came out, never a negative day and talk about, anything negative about practice and want to go out, ultimate team guy. And he's the guy that you want to go out and play for, right? You look to the left, you look to the right, you have Kyle Williams there, he's going to go out and do his job. And we've always, even back when I was there playing in Buffalo, we've always played around with retirement. I said, Kyle, you're not going to retire for a minute, dude. You're going to be playing for a while. And he's still going out there getting it done and very happy for him.
Switching gears to the playoffs here, I think most people agree that New England will take care of Tennessee. Pittsburgh will take care of Jacksonville. Out of the other two games, it seems like it's split down the middle. Do you have a feeling on either of those?
On the Minnesota game?
Minnesota and the Philadelphia-Atlanta.
Personally, I don't think Nick Foles can go out and get it done. The reason why they got the first round bye in the first place was because of Carson Wentz. I'm not so on Nick Foles. I don't think he can go out and perform with this amount of pressure. And I know they're like a 3-point underdog in Philly. And I think that's even too close. I think it's going to be a 2-touchdown loss to Philly.
Do you think, though, that's a dangerous mindset? Maybe as like that you're a defensive guy and you look at Nick Foles and maybe even in the other conference, Blake Bortles, and you're a guy on the defensive side of the ball and you're looking at these guys and thinking, you know what, there's no way that this guy's going to get it done. Do you think that maybe there's a danger that the defenses of those two teams end up sleeping on those QBs?
No, not really. I don't think there's no sleepers. Even when someone talks about upset or sleepers, we're talking about the playoffs. These guys had to do something to get there. You can go over and look at the Pittsburgh and Jacksonville game. For people saying, hey, Jacksonville beat them before. This is a different season. This is a different team. This is also a Jacksonville team that put up 10 points against the Bills. And 10 points won't get it done against Pittsburgh.
I think there's a lot of really interesting defensive players that are left in the postseason right now. Like, again, you look at that Vikings defense, you look at the Jaguars defense, and even the Saints, they've done a great job this season. And the Eagles, there's a lot of really good defensive units that are left. And I wonder for a guy like you, heading into a weekend like this, if there's one player in particular that you're looking at and you're most interested to see in a big game, in a big situation.
My young guy, Yannick, down in Jacksonville, Yannick Duckway. Out of the University of Maryland, former Terp. He was someone who I mentored his younger years at Maryland, and I'm not surprised at all at how he's playing and how he's been in it. So I think a lot of people are, but I'm not surprised at all. And I think he's a not only a great asset to the team, but I think in the future for the pass rushers and defensive guys, he's a guy to watch.
Yeah, no, he's a super talented dude. And then and he was who got into it this weekend with Richie Incognito, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a feisty guy. He played ball at the University of Maryland. That's what we do there. And anytime you go up against Incognito, you know, Richie's a mean joker. So also a good friend of mine. So I yeah, man, I think he's a young talent that is supposed to be watched.
Did you guys see the feature on him that had who wore number 7 before you at Maryland? With Boomer Esiason,
no,
he had no clue
it.
Who it was.
No, I didn't see that either.
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah, he was like, who is this number 7? And he's like, I have no clue, man. I have no clue who that is. And then they had Boomer Esiason in studio going, I just interviewed him two weeks out of the last 7.
I do wonder what happened between those two guys over what gets said. And sometimes if guys do cross the line when they're talking trash with each other, and usually like they say, like, listen, leave kids out of it. That's something like Matt, you used to play, and I think that there are times and certain guys that cross the line and they say certain things. And I feel like, you know, when you start going into race, that's a tricky scenario with a guy like Richie Incognito. And you said Richie likes to talk trash, but like, have you heard any more of this, like as to what was said, or maybe whether you think that Richie would have crossed the line?
No, you know what? He did cross the line. There's no doubt about that. And that was something I would tell him personally, but outside of that, I've known him for a long time. I think he's a great guy. I think that it's a learning curve that we all have to learn to go no, right? You don't cross those lines, even in a joking matter, for no point. So I think he's a great guy. I think he's done a terrific job for the Bills, and I had a great conversation with some of our former teammates about how he's still going out there and able to get it done.
Yeah, when he went to Buffalo, you know, that was the whole thing around him was, is this the right guy, the right culture you want to bring into the organization? Everyone has had glowing reviews about him, people covering the team, his teammates around him, and they've stepped up to the forefront and defending him as well.
Yeah, they love him.
Yeah, they should. He's a great guy. He's what the locker room needs, right? You need that tough guy there to go in there that anchors not only the front line, but gives that offense some character, but, you know, following his direction. You can see some of the big spikes he got this year. You might shout him a text. And I told him, I said, man, when did they start letting offensive linemen spike the ball? So that just shows you how much they follow him.
Again, we're talking to Sean Merriman, 3-time Pro Bowler, at Sean Merriman on Twitter. And again, thanks for the time today, man. Last one before you go. Speaking of locker room and what you need and what you don't need, Le'Veon Bell got asked a question ahead of this game about his contract and what would happen if he got franchise tagged. And he mentioned that he would potentially sit out the 2018 season. He took to Twitter afterwards to explain that he's only focused on this game, but it's kind of hard to believe that after he makes a statement like that. And I'm wondering if that can have a ripple effect in the locker room.
Yeah, it's one of the times you hope that the guy doesn't say anything, especially with social media and the spread of like a wildfire. And the type of games that they're about to play in, they should be more focused on that. On the flip side of that, I think over the last 10 years, the running back position has really just been degraded, you know, and not getting the value it deserves. I'm playing running back in the National Football League. Every single play. He knows his value, and he knows that he doesn't have much longer to play the game. He's not going to have a 15-year career or 20-year career. I want to get what my value is right now. You just hope that guys don't say that type of thing publicly, because then it just distracts him from what the man's focus is, and that should be Jacksonville.
Hey, Sean, it was great talking with you today, man. Really appreciate you making time for us.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me.